Okay, it is November 2nd, and the Cubs are going to play Game 7 of the World Series, but I have to pretend like I'm calm and cool. Okay, let's go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. I am said Elton Jim Toronto, and for the next hour or so, we're going to have a little fun here. I should preface this by saying that as you're listening to this, as it's posted on November 7th, you will already know when you're listening to this that if the Cubs have won the World Series or not. However, we are recording this on November 2nd at the right now 3:10. So in about 8 hours from now, we will know if the Cubs have won the World Series or not. But right now, we don't know. So it's an interesting time because it's almost like this is, I feel like we're in Back to the Future Part 2 and you have Biff's almanac. You know who won right now. But I don't right now. Deal with that. I don't even know if that, I mean, my head right now is spinning just by explaining that. But before we get to the show, we're going to be having a little fun. We've been talking about a variety of different topics the last several episodes, which is, this is episode 25, by the way. But I wanted to get back to some good old pop culture, and I felt so bad a couple of weeks ago. I got so excited, and I started rambling about my a really fun trip to Krakow, Poland, and to Prague in the Czech Republic that I just rambled on for the whole hour, actually more than an hour, and bypassed my planned guest, Emily Armonetti, to talk about some pop culture stuff. And so I felt so bad. So we're going to give her an extended period of time on this show to talk about some fun stuff. Old Cella Desert Trip Festival, which happened back in October in California with some of the biggest legendary rock names like Dylan and McCartney and the Stones and the Who. Very successful. And so now the question is, if they have another one next year, what's the lineup? What's the dream lineup? So we'll talk about that. And then in a recent issue of Rolling Stone, the cover story was the 100 greatest TV shows of all time. And of course, lists are made to be debated. And so you will talk about what is on there, what isn't on there, and what should be on there. So we're going to have a little fun with some TV and some music. But first, I did want to talk briefly about the Cubs, even though, as I said, when this is posted, this will pretty much be moot. However, I want to go on the record in case one way or the other. I mean, I'm hoping, no one hopes the Cubs win more than I do. I'm a huge Cub fan. Have been since I was a little kid. I grew up on the Northwest Side, right off of Addison, about 4 or 5 miles from Wrigley. And so, I mean, no one wants the Cubs to win more than I do. But I have to just go on the record as saying that in Game 6, I was shocked and very dismayed of what Cub manager Joe Maddon did by bringing in their ace reliever, Chapman, with 2 outs in the 7th inning and a 5-run lead. And the guy had thrown 43 pitches a day or so before that. He's used to throwing 10 pitches, not 40. And they had a 5-run lead, later a 7-run lead. You had a chance to rest your ace start, your ace closer. So when you inevitably were going to go to Game 7, you had your best reliever rested after an extended period of time that he pitched in Game 5. Why would you bring him in? You're up 5 runs, and not only are you up 5 runs, but you had pounded the Indians. They were deflated. And even in that situation, with 2 outs in the 7th inning and 2 men out, even if a guy hit a home run, you're still up 2 runs. The game was not on the line. So Joe Maddon, I felt, was managing from a place of fear, which was very strange because he hasn't seemed to have done that in his time here with the Cubs. So clearly he could not or did not trust any other Cub pitcher to save a 5-run lead with 7 outs to go. So I don't know what happened in Game 7. I'm hoping that the Cubs blew out the Indians in such a fashion that the bullpen did not even play a part. Because, and everybody's saying, well, what's the big deal? They have their whole pitching staff. They could bring in Lester. They could bring in Lackey. They could bring in Arrieta. Anyone. For Game 7 to win the World Series, you want your experts doing what they do best. And Ron and Lester is not a relief pitcher. He's a starting pitcher. Is he a good pitcher? Yes. Could he possibly come in relief and get some guys out? Yes. But he's not used to coming in with a game on the line right out of the bullpen, needing to get an out right away. He's a starting pitcher. He gets into a groove. He knows he has six or seven innings. Chapman is a reliever who comes in and knows I have to throw my 104-mile-an-hour pitch and get outs right away. You want your best players ready. What scares me about Game 7 is Cleveland has their three best pitchers all rested. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope, and you're listening to this, you say, Jim, you idiot, you sound like Chicken Little. What were you all worried about? They won 10-0. I hope that's the case. I hope the game doesn't go into the ninth inning with a one-run lead or a tie score, and we have to rely on our bullpen. I hope that doesn't happen. I don't want to be right. Please let me be wrong. But I have to say, as a baseball fan and as a Cub fan, I just had to mention this because I was surprised to see Joe Maddon divert from his usual managerial confidence and manage from fear. And on that note, let's have fun now. Emily Armanetti, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, isn't that a change from last week or 2 weeks ago? Isn't So we called you at the usual time at 3:30, and you were on hold for a half hour.
Yes.
And you got to hear all about my trip while you were on hold.
Yes, I learned a lot about your trip. I learned a lot about Poland. And the history of Poland.
Very good. See?
Yeah.
I'm providing a service as you were sitting there at home going, when is this son of a bee going to stop talking about this trip and get me on so I could talk about what I want to talk about? Because
it's all about me.
Of course.
It's all about me.
Well, today it is all about you. So as a penance, as I went to church, and the priest told me to say three Hail Marys and have Emily on for the whole show. So I said the three Hail Marys, and now I'm having Emily on the whole show. So my sins are burned off, and I'm doing my penance. And hey, look, I don't consider that anything bad at all. I always enjoy talking to you about pop culture and stuff. Now, what the funny thing is, you have been you've been getting on me to talk about music for a while during your segments.
Yes.
And we haven't. So I thought we would start out by getting right into the music world. A couple of weeks ago, there was the highly touted Desert Trip Festival, which was being called Old Cella, because it was in the same place where they do Coachella out in California. And an amazing lineup of legendary rock acts who basically define classic rock. Bob Dylan, The Stones, The Who, Paul McCartney, basically The Beatles, Neil Young, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd. So it went very well from what I understand. I read some good reviews. Did you read anything about it?
I read a few things. I mean, it seemed like it went pretty well.
And it made money. It made money. Everybody seemed to be happy about it. So the question is, of course, when something goes well, how do we do it again next year?
Oh, exactly.
So, if you're the promoter, now here's the provisos I have to give you. You're the promoter for Old Cella for the Desert Trip Festival next year. You want to have some classic rock names. I'm saying it's going to be the same thing, six acts, but they have to not only be legendary, but they also have to sell tickets. This has to be. You know,
right.
There's no, they were influential, but no, this needs to be major, major people.
Yeah,
so who's
it's all about the Benjamins?
Yeah. So, don't get me started on Benjamins because on my last, on my last podcast, as we all know, I am in the midst of writing a musical called BFF, Benjamin Freakin' Franklin. And one of my songs is Gimme Some Benjis.
Is this going to be like the new Hamilton?
It's exactly what it is. Yes. There's going to be, in fact, that scene, as I talked about in my last episode, will have a bunch of dancing $100 bills. Like the Rockettes. It's good. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. And then, of course, the thing that brings the house down will be a giant kite, like the helicopter in Miss Saigon. Giant kite.
This is like the grand finale.
Yeah, with a big key on it.
Right.
And his wife is screaming at him, Benjamin, go fly a kite. And then this giant kite comes down. Oh, I'm already got chills.
You got it. Yeah.
And I have to say, Kristen, our producer, I was talking about her last, you're in, right?
I will be the first to buy tickets.
Sadly, I don't have any backing. Kristen was very excited and very enthusiastic about the show, but she doesn't have any Benjamins to put into it. No Benjamins. I need
You just have to keep talking about it. Just keep promoting it.
I need a backer.
The listeners will start pooling their Benjamins.
Yeah, know? I mean, you know, he invented the glasses.
Oh, it's all about crowdsourcing, crowdfunding. Do Kickstarter. Oh. There you go.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
It's the people's musical.
It is the people's musical.
Yeah.
Well, he invented the bifocals. So one of my songs is My Second Pair of Eyes. When I put them on, much to my surprise, I'm seeing the world through a new set of eyes.
You've put a lot of thought into this.
Well, you have no idea.
I feel like this is actually happening.
Well, it's not still. I mean, you know, I started as a joke. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. The guy from Hamilton was sitting on a hammock on vacation reading a Hamilton autobiography or a biography, and now he's the toast of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I clearly, I've seen in my career now, I have to create my own vehicles. Nobody wants to use. Nobody's hiring me, so I need to create my own vehicle.
Jim, don't worry. It's not just you. We talked about this before. It's like women of a certain age in Hollywood need to do that.
Yeah,
you know? It's like you're not the only one.
No, I know. So I'm like I said, I'm done waiting. So yeah, BFF, and then the BFF plays right into the young crowd because it's going to be called BFF, Benjamin Freakin' Franklin. Can't you see that on a T-shirt? BFF.
I can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
I mean, you might need to get your godson on, and you can run it through the millennials.
There you go.
But I think you've got. I think you've got the millennials locked down.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk about the old cellas then. So give me your if you were the promoter, what six acts now as part two? We had the Stones, as I said. We had the Who. We had the Beatles with Paul McCartney. We had Bob Dylan. So what would be the next wave to play into this classic rock genre?
Okay. So, look, I mean, I look at this year's lineup, and I think it's a great lineup, but I also feel like it's a little heavy on, like, the old white rich men factor.
Oh, interesting.
So my list, I feel like, you know, when I was thinking about who would be in my ideal lineup, you know, I think I want to meet all of your criteria, but I would also like to see a little bit of diversity.
Okay, very interesting.
Right. So,
okay.
And I also have to say, if you had asked me this earlier this year, I feel like probably either David Bowie and or Prince would have been on my list. But, you know, unfortunately, that's not possible.
Well, see, once again, though, I think I don't deny those two names. But I think that if we're going to go in a chronological order, you know, they used the initial kind of 60s and British invasion people, and your Bowie's, and certainly your Prince is more 80s, and Bowie is certainly 70s. So I think that
my picks for sure are probably going to be starting to move into the 70s.
Well, they have to. I think.
Tapped into the best of the 60s.
Maybe not.
I mean, though, there's a lot of female talent from the 60s that I think was totally overlooked. But again, I think it was
Well, like you know, who? Who do you think was overlooked?
Well, I mean,
we couldn't get Janis Joplin, right?
Well, you can't get, no, and I know, and like, actually, I would say Joni Mitchell, but even Joni Mitchell is very sick right now.
Yeah, she's sick. Yeah, the only
it's very shrouded in secrecy, but yeah, there's definitely something going on with her.
Yeah, she may have had a stroke of some kind. They don't really want to say, but
yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, perhaps Joan Baez. I don't know that she could necessarily sell as many tickets, but if she's on the bill with all of these other...
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that you bring up the diversity angle, because actually somebody is in my list that could probably fall into either the 60s or the 70s, and that is Carole King.
Yeah. I mean,
Carole King with Tapestry. Tapestry came out in 1970 and is, you know, with I Feel the Earth Move and So Far Away and It's Too Late. I mean, the Tapestry album is a classic. And so I'm wondering if she would not be somebody that would certainly be on the new Cella, if you will. But so go ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Okay, so she's not on my list, but she definitely, I would say, was a contender. But okay, so here's my list.
All right.
So first act, I'm going to say Led Zeppelin.
Okay, now here's the thing. From what I understand, Led Zeppelin was one of the first bands to be offered to do the first one. They were offered,
really?
In fact,
and they turned it down?
$14 million to do, you know, a weekend. Yeah. And they turned it down, and it wasn't they.
Really?
Yeah, once again, it was Robert Plant. Because I think Robert Plant, and I give him credit to some extent, you know, let's be honest, and there's no doubt, you are exactly correct, Led Zeppelin should definitely be a part of, I mean, if you're talking, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you would expect to see them on this.
Yeah,
I
mean,
kind of lineup,
yeah,
right?
they are a defining, you know, classic rock band. No question about that. If you're having a classic rock Mount Rushmore, Zeppelin is on there. But apparently, you know, let's not forget that some of the best Led Zeppelin songs are very, very high pitched screaming and high octave singing that Robert Plant was able to do 40 years ago. But
yeah,
I don't think his voice can handle it. And I don't think he wants to either cheat the audience or cheat himself by people saying, well, it was okay, but it wasn't as good as, you know, he wasn't singing like he should. I think he wants to keep the legend of Led Zeppelin, because, and that's it, I don't blame him. I mean, it's not that easy. You know, Jimmy Page can always play the guitar, but it's not easy to hit those high notes. But I'll give you Led Zeppelin because they do belong on there, and who knows?
Well, I have alternates if I need them. So,
okay, but no, throw your Led Zeppelin. No,
you
Led Zeppelin
say,
is...
You know, they say that Robert Plant lives in Austin.
Oh, really?
But I haven't seen him. Yeah, no.
You haven't seen him at the mall?
Haven't, no.
You haven't seen him at Annie's... What is that? Annie's Pretzels?
I love that place.
Oh, aren't those the best pretzels on earth?
They're the best.
Oh, my God, they are so buttery.
And you know what? Oh. I hate it when they're like those off-brand.
I know.
Like those imitation.
Yeah, Cousin Pete's are not as good as Aunt Annie's.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, not right.
In fact, at one point, I was in an airport, because that's, I don't really hang out at malls. I'm sure in about 10 or 15 years I will be. But right now, I still don't go to malls. But so most of the time, I see Aunt Annie's at airports. And I saw them throwing out, like it was toward the end of the day, and I saw them throwing out like a bunch of the pretzels.
No.
And I was so tempted to do the dumpster dive.
Oh, God. You would be like, that's like a George Costanza movie.
I know, exactly. Eating the eclair, but it was, but they are so good. But anyway, I'm sorry. So go ahead. So
we go off key.
We diverse. So, yeah, we digress. Go ahead.
So Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
So then I'm going to say Fleetwood Mac.
Very good. They're on my list.
Ticks all the boxes and brings some diversity, especially if you get Stevie Nicks and Christine McVie on board.
And they're both in the band. Christine McVie has come back.
Yeah.
So that's fine. And I mean, Rumors was one of the biggest albums of all time, and certainly one of the biggest albums of the 70s. So
right up there with Thriller. Yep.
So okay. I'm giving you that one.
So Led Zeppelin, Fleetwood Mac, Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton, very good. He's on my list as well. Now, there is a question.
I debated a lot about this one in my head.
Well, I don't think you should debate it, because Clapton Clapton actually, you know, there's some talk that Clapton has some neurological damage in his back, and that is affecting his hands, and that he cannot play as well. And there's question whether he can even tour anymore. But in terms of his historical value, I mean, he actually should have been in the first one, because he was in Cream and the Yardbirds and then Derek and the Dominoes and then himself. Yeah. So, I mean, and there, you know, in the 60s, I mean, there's the big, you know, myth about somebody wrote on graffiti on a wall that said Clapton is God. And that started the whole mystique. So he belongs there. I just hope he physically would be able to do it. But he is on my list. So far we're tracking.
Okay, now this one I think you're going to disagree with me on, but I'm going to put this out there.
All right.
Before I tell you who it is.
Okay.
I have probably seen hundreds of bands live over the years, and this artist is hands down the best live show I've ever seen. I didn't expect to feel that way, but Peter Gabriel.
Thompson Twins? No.
Thompson Twins. No, Peter Gabriel.
I love Peter Gabriel. And P.S.
And you know what? I really, really wanted. I was going to fly into Chicago to go and see the shows when he was on tour recently on the Rock, Paper, Scissors tour with Sting.
With Sting,
I didn't actually even care about seeing Sting, but I just really wanted to see Peter Gabriel.
You know,
and I couldn't get any decent tickets. I was like, it was like nosebleeds, and I was like, I'm not really going to fly into Chicago just to, you know.
Well, not only
really, I think he's just phenomenal live.
No, I'm a huge, huge Peter Gabriel fan, and not only does he fit the bill, but he certainly fits the bill for not only you know his solo work, but then he was one of the founding members of Genesis.
Yep.
You know, in the 60s, and once again the whole progressive rock thing, and so now the question could possibly be, if you're looking at 70s stuff, a Genesis reunion with both Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel. Because they both were in the band at the same time. Phil Collins was just the drummer. He was not the singer. And it was when...
You know, he just announced he's coming out of retirement.
Yeah, he's going to do his own solo tour, but he can't play the drums a lot. He's also had some problems, too. But no, I think that's a good... I'll tell you, that one was not on my list. But I love... Yeah, I mean, I've been a Peter Gabriel fan. I remember the first time I saw him live was at the good old Poplar Creek venue here in, like, I think 1983. And I almost lost my hearing at that time because it was so loud, but it was so great. And I've seen Gabriel 7 or 8 times since then. So that's a great one. That one was not on my list, but I'm liking that one a lot. Either Genesis / Peter Gabriel. I'm liking that one. Okay.
Yeah. So now, once again, like I think we need a far more diverse lineup than there was this year. So I'm going to say my next pick is, and this needs no explanation.
Is what?
Wonder.
Okay. Wow, I've got Stevie Wonder on my list too. How do you not put Stevie Wonder? Stevie Wonder, once again, you know, in terms of, you know, diversity, regardless. I mean, he was one. He's won maybe the most Grammys, and certainly throughout the 70s. Once again, from the late 60s when he first started as a young kid. But certainly, I mean, with
Stevie Wonder.
Little Stevie Wonder and Fingertips was the harmonica song. But I mean, you know, all of his albums and then the pinnacle is Songs of the Key of Life, the double album, which came out in 76. I saw him do the whole album, Songs of the Key of Life, about 2 years ago, and it was unbelievable. It's still one of my favorite albums. And you are, so yeah, I'm right on board with Stevie. I think Stevie's got to be there.
I'm impressed that Stevie was on your list. I'm happy we're like...
Well, what do you think? I'm Archie Bunker here?
No. Let's
I love the African-Americans.
See, when you reveal your list, it's not about that. It's more about, you know, I wasn't sure if...
No, I love Stevie. I love Stevie Wonder.
It has nothing to do with the diversity factor. It's just more that you might have like a set... You might go down a totally different route with your list. I don't know.
I mean, I have respect for Stevie. Except for Ebony and Ivory, I have great respect for Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, so go on.
My final spot. Now, and I, you know, this was hard because there are like a handful of other.
Okay, so
I thought about the last one.
Well, wait. Before you do it, so let's review. You've had Led Zeppelin.
Fleetwood Mac,
that's
Eric
2.
Clapton.
Eric Clapton, 3.
Peter Gabriel,
4.
Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder 5. And now?
Okay, final act,
mm-hmm.
Aretha Franklin.
Oh, very interesting. Not on my list. Natural Woman. She does need some R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
R-E-S-P.
Yeah, how did it... Well, what? How did I spell it?
I don't know.
What? R-E-M? I was getting Michael Stipe in there. I don't know what's going on. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? What did I say?
Yeah.
Did I spell it wrong?
I don't know.
Well, I tell you, Aretha, that's a good one. That's not a bad lineup that would sell tickets.
We need more women. We need more, like, you know,
yeah,
legendary female acts on the bill.
Yeah, so, no. Well, here's, I am impressed and I am disappointed in your list.
Of course. Of course.
Because you did not choose... Perhaps the most defining act of the 1970s in terms of album sales, singles sales, and concert ticket sales. And that, of course, is Elton John.
I knew you were going to say
It's not. I mean, see, this is what kills me. Elton, you know, is right up there, and I don't know why he does not get the immediate respect. I mean, this guy dominated the 70s. Because here's the thing. This is what drives me crazy. Whenever somebody does a 70s music, like say the Sox or the Cubs have 70s night, and you're supposed to dress up like the 70s, everybody dresses up like disco. Now listen, I was there. I was a little kid, but I was there. Disco was only around for about 3.5 years. Maybe late 76, certainly 77 with Saturday Night Fever. And by 1979, 1980, at least the term disco was gone. Now dance music has remained. It's just a different name because the name disco has a negative perception. But some of the greatest rock and roll was made in the 70s. Stairway to Heaven, 70s. The Who's Next with Bob O'Reilly and Won't Get Fooled Again, 70s. It's not all disco. But disco has somehow, you know, captured the entire, you know, decade. So you explain to me now why you don't think Elton should be on there.
It's not that I don't think Elton should be on it. It's just that Elton just didn't make the cut for me. There are just too many other artists. And Also, I know you're a big fan of Elton. I knew he was going to be on your list.
He doesn't
strike me as like a festival type act. Okay.
Oh.
He's a little bit of a diva.
What does that have to do with it?
He's done the dueling piano.
He plays every festival. He has played.
What festival?
He played Bonnaroo. He just played Bonnaroo last year. Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm a little out of the Bonnaroo.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm more of a Lollapalooza.
He just played Hyde Park. You know, in London.
What, in London? But with a bunch of other people or just him?
Well, no. The whole, yeah, there was a whole festival, like a 2-day thing. Well, okay. All right.
Well,
so anyway.
I stand corrected.
Okay. Well, here we go. So here's my list.
He's still not on my list.
Okay. Well, I hope you're enjoying your last appearance on Pop Culture Club. That was the secret. That was the secret litmus test that you were not aware of. So, Kristen, who are your old cello people, Kristen? And you better say the first name right, Kristen.
Don't involve Kristen in this.
She better say the first name right, or she's gone.
Elton Jim. I'm sorry, Elton John. Elton John.
Litmus test. Anyway, so here's my list of at least six. I've got more, but here's at least six. I agree with you. I think Led Zeppelin, until they ever do it, will always be on the list because they should be. But I think there is there is just a block about that in terms of Robert Plant wanting to do that. So I'm going to take Zeppelin off there because I don't know if they'll ever do it. They were, as I said, reportedly were offered $14 million for a weekend and they turned it down. So here's my one. Elton has to be on there. Bruce Springsteen has to be on there.
I knew.
Well, once again, I'm not making this up. The guy's been around for 40 years. He's still selling out places. He's got probably his most successful tour he just finished, and he's the greatest live rock act there is. Boy, Emily, that's
he's a little melodramatic for me.
Then why are you on this show?
I don't know, actually.
Because, I mean, you think Elton and Bruce are divas? Holy cow, look who you're talking to. So I agreed with you on Fleetwood Mac, and I agreed with you on Eric Clapton, and I agreed with you on Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah, so I think if you're looking at 70s rock, I think they would be able to do it, even though, you know, The Who is touring, obviously, without John Entwistle or Keith Moon. So I would have to say that the Eagles have to be on there.
Can you do the Eagles without Glenn Frey?
Well, you know what? From what I understand, and I agree with you, but from what I understand, there was a secret concert in, there's like a tribute concert to Glenn Frey. It wasn't a secret, but it wasn't a huge big thing in L.A. several months ago. And apparently, Glenn Frey's son is a dead ringer for his dad in terms of his voice.
Okay.
And so the rumor is that if the dollars are enough, Glenn Frey's son could perhaps fill in the void left by his father, which, you know, which is what John Bonham's son, the drummer for Led Zeppelin, did several years ago. Jason Bonham played the drums for the reconstituted Led Zeppelin when they did a couple of reunion shows in England about 10 years ago. So who knows? So I would think that if they can do that, I mean, the Eagles were easily one of the biggest bands of the 1970s, along with Fleetwood Mac, you know, and Elton and Bruce. I would certainly put Clapton on there. I would put Stevie Wonder. And here's one where I would have to wonder. Now, I'm gonna give you more than six, because, you know, it's my show.
You're just feeling generous today.
It's my show. Here's where I get your diversity. As I said earlier, I think it would be great to have Carole King and James Taylor. Because they
together?
Yes, because
is that what you're saying,
together, because they have toured together, and I have seen that tour about 5 years ago. It was amazing. And I think Carole King definitely deserves to be there. And James Taylor. Now, it's not hard rock, but you have to remember that the 70s really ushered in that whole singer-songwriter genre. And James Taylor is the...
And also, like, Bob Dylan's not really hard rock.
Exactly. Really. And so
he's
definitely
more folksy.
Yeah, so I think James Taylor definitely should not be forgotten, even though he may not be viewed as a rock star per se, but his voice still sounds as smooth and, you know, just as affecting as it ever has. And I think he and Carole King would be really great together. So I would actually...
Okay, but does that count as one act?
Yeah, I'd put them on as one act, and they would go back and forth doing their greatest hits.
All right, so if you can do that, then I'm going to say in my dream lineup, I would like to kind of sneak in a little Steve Winwood with Eric Clapton.
Oh, and do a little Traffic.
Right?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very nice.
That would be nice.
Well, yeah. Stevie Winwood certainly, you know, belongs in there somewhere. That's true. Now, here's another one that that you didn't mention that I think bears some consideration. Paul Simon.
Paul Simon was on my list of alternates.
Okay. I mean, Paul Simon, not only as a part of Simon and Garfunkel, one of the biggest duets of the 60s and early 70s with Bridge Over Troubled Water, but then, my gosh, I mean, he's been an amazing solo artist. So I would put him on.
Oh, yeah.
And let's not forget Rod Stewart.
Yeah, Rod Stewart definitely crossed my mind.
Yeah,
I mean,
Rod Stewart.
And he ticks all the boxes.
Maggie May.
And I'm guessing he strikes me as someone who would do anything for money.
Well, yeah. Well, I think at this point they all do. I mean, believe me, these guys are all looking at the cash. Now, here's one that a lot of people may not consider, but I think if you're looking at the early 70s and huge name and chart dominations, John Fogerty and Clearance Clearwater Revival.
Credence Clearwater Revival?
What did I say? Clarence? Clarence Clearwater Revival. I'm thinking of Bruce Springsteen and Clarence Clemens. No, yeah. Credence Clearwater Revival. Now, he doesn't tour with them anymore, but John Fogerty, I mean, for a 2 or 3 year run, John Fogerty and Credence Clearwater Revival were dominant. So I would put them on there too. And let's see. And then an outside chance one. I don't know if he belongs in the second one, but he certainly would belong in the third one. Actually two more. Billy Joel, possibility. And the Kinks.
See, the Kinks, I'm not sure that they can necessarily sell tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I think
but
that's true.
I respect them musically, but
sadly, the Kinks were one of the great British imports, but they never really hit it here as big. They didn't tour as much as they should have in the early 60s or in the 60s and 70s. There was a problem, and they never really became. They're still they're gods in England.
Oh, yeah, and I think they have a cult following, for sure.
But, I mean, you know, All Day and All the Night. I mean, that pretty much defines rock and roll, that riff right there. And that's the Kinks. So I like the fact that we pretty much were on the same wavelength in many of them, even though you did not choose the most glaring and obvious choices. Like Elton John and Bruce Springsteen.
That's the point, though. Well, Elton was so obvious he was going to be on your list. It's like, and you know,
it's not my list. It's not my list. I guarantee you, if they do this, Elton's on here. I guarantee you. It's not about me liking Elton John. The guy deserves it. He had the first album that ever entered the charts at number one, ever. Two in a row, by the way. Ever.
I would never debate you when it comes to Elton.
In fact, recently,
I'm out of my league.
Last week, just came back from Las Vegas. Show number 165. Thank you very much.
Oh, I have a question about that. I saw the photo of the Cubs hat.
Yes.
Okay, on the piano. But my question is, did you just like chuck that up there?
No. No. So
close that you like handed it to him.
No, no.
Or
in fact,
just gently placed it.
No, I saw it. I saw Elton at the at Caesar's Palace at the Coliseum Theater in Caesar's Palace. It's about a 4,000 seater. And if you sit within the first five rows of the during the show, toward the end, during the song "Saturday Night's the Right for Fighting," they let the first five rows go up on the stage.
Get out.
Yeah, and you. I was a foot away from Elton. And you are literally...
And was his security ready for action? Were they bracing themselves?
Oh, yeah, no. They put velvet ropes up. I mean, yeah, I mean, me, they've got five people around me at all times. Even when I'm sitting in my chair, they've got people sitting around me. No, but I mean, they let the first five rows up. They've got the velvet ropes, and you go around. I mean, it's like you're in a bar, and some guy is playing the piano. Meanwhile, there's 4,000 other people watching you. But you go right up to the stage. I mean, I was playing air piano on the piano with my hand.
Come on.
And I've done that several times. I mean, that's the greatest, and that's why I keep going to Vegas because, I mean, you're literally, and I've brought my Elton glasses with me. And I've put those
do
on the.
Do they only do this at that particular venue? Or
yeah.
Any other place?
No, only at the Vegas shows. No, only at the Vegas shows.
And you knew they were going to let you do that?
Oh yeah, I've done it for the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, I brought my Elton glasses, and I've had pictures. I put my glasses up there. I've actually offered to him to wear them, but he won't put them on. He kind of smiles, and I put the Cub hat on.
That's when he's like looking at security, like,
yeah.
"Okay, it's time."
Okay,
for him to go.
He's here again. but then the Cub hat, because he's a big Atlanta Braves fan, because he has a house in Atlanta, And he's a big baseball fan, so I figured that he would get a kick out of it. And he kind of smiled and nodded at the Cub hat, and I put the Cub hat up right on the piano and just kept it up there for the whole song. And then I took a picture of it. Yeah, it's very cool. Oh, it's the coolest thing. I mean, he's literally a foot away. It's like he's in your living room. And he gives people high fives, and I mean, and I, depending on how fast you can get up there, I mean, a couple of times I've gotten where I'm literally right next to him. So I'm as he's playing, I'm standing right next to him, and so I'm watching his hands play the piano. I mean, it's just amazing.
You know what you should do next time?
What?
Have you ever seen the Fabulous Baker Boys?
Just lay on the piano.
Out on the piano.
How great would that be? Now then I would get kicked out.
Roll around.
Now then I would get kicked out. But it might be worth it.
Elton probably has a sense of humor, you know, and I'm sure he's.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, though, there's a lot of security. There's two security guys right behind him as he's playing. And they're, everybody that's there is such a fan, and everybody is so respectful. But it is an amazing experience to just be there. All of a sudden, I mean, he's right there. And I've been lucky enough I've met him four times, you know, in my life. And so I've been with him one-on-one. But it's just kind of cool to be, you know, on the stage while he's playing, and he's a foot away from you. And it's just like, okay, this is very cool. One time, about 5 years ago, when they first started to do that, I was up there. I ran up there, and I was kind of in shock, and it was very cool. I was like the first one up there, and he saw me, and he gives me a high five, and he goes, "Hey, Jimbo," and I'm like,
"Really?
Wow!" I was just like, "Okay, that's very cool."
he's probably also the only person in the world who's allowed to call you Jimbo.
Yeah, I don't usually. I don't usually let the Jimbo thing slide.
Yeah, but Elton
gets away with the Jimbo thing. But go on my Facebook page because that was, in fact, this was the dilemma I had, and I was talking about this in my last podcast too. That show that I went to was Game 2 of the World Series. And
I heard that.
So that's why I brought the Cub hat too.
That's like Sophie's choice.
That's exactly what it was. Thankfully, thankfully, Vegas is 2 hours ahead. They actually pushed the game up because of a possible rain. So I was able to see about three quarters of that game and then go to see Elton. Like I said, it was a classic doubleheader. So
if Elton, next year when they announce the lineup for Desert Trip,
I will not go.
On it,
I will not go.
Why not?
No, I will not go. I don't like to see him, or I don't really like those. I mean, that's an event, and I mean,
you don't do festivals.
I do festivals. I have done. I haven't done Lollapalooza yet. I've been toying with that, but I look at Lollapalooza, and even though Perry Farrell is my age, so it's not like, you know, it's old people's music.
No.
But it just seems like most of the crowd there is very young, and I mean, I'm just wondering if it's not my party.
Well, there is a very young crowd for sure, but I've gone to,
because like Kristen, you've gone to Lollapalooza, right?
I love Lolla. Yeah.
Yeah. But now, if you saw somebody there in their 50s, would you be like, get the hell out of here?
No, there's a lot of older people that go.
Really? Oh, yeah. Older. Oh, no, she's gone. Jim. Okay, gone. Another litmus test. See how I got her to see how sneaky I was there? Litmus test. Where's Mike Heidemann? Is he still here?
He's busy. He's at Lollapalooza with me.
No, but I mean, I don't mind. Jim. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's funny that you should raise the age factor, because I was at the very first Lollapalooza in 1991.
In my day.
Back in my day. And that was when it was a one-day festival. It was a traveling show.
So right.
It would travel to multiple cities.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, fast forward to recent years, it's now 3 days. Well, now it's 4 days.
4 days.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
It went from 3 days to 4 days in Chicago. And, I for the last handful of years, before I moved to Austin, I go every year. I go with friends who I grew up with, people who I went to the very first Lollapalooza with. And now, every year, my dad will say to us, like, all right, listen, because my brother goes, my sister goes, he's like, you people are too old. No more Lollapalooza, okay? You got it? That's it. You're too old. And I said to him, and I say this every time, Dad, okay, yes, there are a lot of young people there, for sure. But I'm like, the bands that are on the bill, the headliners especially, I'm like, those are our generation bands, you know? I mean, you're talking about Radiohead, Jane's Addiction, the Foo Fighters, like, this, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, even, like, people in their 20s, this is not really, those aren't really their generation.
Well, they're going for the event. No, they're going for the event. It's a cool place to hang. And yeah. that's what I'm saying is that it's become a mix of a place to hang out as well as a musical festival. And so there's certainly great bands there if you want to see the bands. But I also think there's a hangout kind of aspect to it. And all I know is when I was in my teens and my 20s, and I've gone to 500, 600, 700 concerts, and I'm easy. I actually should count all my ticket stubs because I think I've gone to that many. And I just remember that when I was younger, and I saw somebody like 40, I'd be like, hey, get out of here. You know, go see Frank Sinatra. What are you doing at my concert? So I just don't know if I'm kind of, like I said before, crashing the party, even though the music is music that I like and certainly still of somewhat of my generation to some extent. But I'm just wondering, it's become such a cultural event as well as a musical event. And then the other side of the coin is, too, I have gone to big festival shows. But and thankfully, the sound quality now at outdoor shows is amazing. You went to, you know, 20-some years ago, you went to outdoor shows, and the sound quality was terrible. And I am really impressed. I don't know what they've done. It's amazing. But when you go to an outdoor show now, the sound is great. I mean, it's not like bouncing everywhere or they feel like they're 500 feet away. And now with the use of video cameras, I don't know what took them so long with that. You know, I mean, now at least you're not looking at a dot. If you're sitting way in the back, you could watch the video screen. So they've really perfected it. I think they've really perfected it to the point when you're going to, you know, try to accommodate 50, 60, 70, 100,000 people. The sound quality and the visuals are certainly there. But part of me says, you know, I just wonder if I'm, as I said before, kind of crashing somebody else's party.
I totally disagree, because not only do the artists reflect, I think, the generation of people who absolutely 100% belong there and should feel free to enjoy it, but also, like, they've totally set it up for not necessarily a younger crowd. I mean, they've got Kidsapalooza, so people who have, like, small kids can come and enjoy it. They've got, like, a wine bar set up in the middle of Lollapalooza. I mean, when you're 19, you're not really going to a wine bar to have drinks, you know? Right. They've got VIP areas all over the place. I mean, I think that kind of stuff is 100% geared toward people who are actually more middle-aged.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
But anyway, Lollapalooza is in your backyard.
Okay? I know. Oh, there's no doubt about that.
You're always trying to, you know, boost your rating on the millennial meter.
Right.
I think next summer it could be like an experiment. You should just go. Even if you don't get like a 3-day pass, just get like a single day pass.
Yeah, I've been tempted to go because there have been some really good bands that I would be interested in seeing. But like I said, then I've weighed the other side of it and go, well, once again, you make a good point about it. I mean, I certainly, from a musical standpoint, would feel comfortable. It's just that, you know, like I said, when you're watching, like, you know, 15-year-old kids all worried about, you know.
Well, that's why. Just steer clear of the EDM stage and you'll be fine.
Although
that's where they all gravitate.
As we talked about earlier in the show, I do need to start to reach that audience with my BFF Benjamin Franklin musical.
Right.
So this I do need to, yeah, so I do need to start to infiltrate that and to show them how cool I could be. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, my gosh, like you said, now it's 4 days. I mean, this, and they really do a great job in terms of the, from what I've seen, you know, the crowd control.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's really, it looks like it's, and how's the, Now, there's the question I have. And, Kristen, I know you've gone there a lot of times, too. So is there any bleed over in terms of with so many stages? Can you hear, like, if I'm at one stage at another place, am I hearing a concert somewhere else?
Usually the stages that are close together, the start times, like, stagger enough to where one will end and then the next stage will start.
So it's you don't get a lot of bleed?
No, you don't. No, I don't think there's that much bleed
okay.
over.
Because that's what I was worried about, too. You know, I mean, am I going to be hearing, I want to go see this band, and yet I'm in my left ear, I'm seeing the band I want to hear, and then in my right ear, I'm hearing somebody that I don't even know, and they're ruining my experience.
Nope. That's I mean, it's not my experience at all. And plus,
yeah, but you're on mushrooms, so.
I'm not on mushrooms. But also, it's like, I like hearing other bands, too, that I don't
I'm
know.
I'm on Molly.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
mushrooms
Chris.
Mushrooms is so 1980.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
Get with the program. Jen.
Yeah, okay.
Millennials don't do mushrooms.
What do they do, Molly?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. Okay. Litmus test. So, yeah, so I'll think about that. I mean, you know, like I said, a part of me, you know, every band that was on this old Cella thing that we talked about, Dylan and Roger Waters and The Who and The Stones and Neil Young and Paul McCartney. I've seen them all. And So a part of me did think in the back of my mind. Now, it was a very expensive concert. I mean, even like one of the worst tickets was like $1,500, you know, for the weekend.
Well,
I think.
What are you talking about? Not face value.
Oh, yeah. For 3 days.
I thought their face value was like around 400 or something like that.
Well, 4 times 3 is what?
No, for a 3 day pass.
Well, maybe if you're, then I think you're sitting out in Los Angeles and trying to watch it from there.
I don't know how easy it is to actually, you know, get the 3 day pass. I mean, once they sell out, then you're on to like the.
Yeah, I know there were several tiers of tickets, prices, and several tiers of seating. And then from what I understand too, goofy Bob Dylan, if he's not already enigmatic. Within the first 3 songs, he told them to shut the video screen down. He didn't want the video screen up. Yeah. So he was basically.
Was there a reason?
I don't know. He didn't like the way he looked. He's 75 years old, I guess. So now there's a little ant, you know, and so I think that was a kind of a bad thing. But, you know, apparently it's like a 2 hour or so ride. I think it's near Palm Springs. In Indio, California, wherever that is. So it's like, it's not easy to get to. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And then you got to keep going back 2 days in a row. So, I mean, there is a little travel thing that's going on with that. It's not as, like, that's why you're saying, I mean, the Lollapalooza thing is literally in my backyard.
You just got to get yourself to Grant Park and you're good.
So, but if Elton was at the old Cella, I don't think that I would go just because it's very difficult when a band that I really like, as much as the sound is good and the visuals are good, I really, and maybe I'm a snob at this point because I've been to so many concerts, but if I'm not sitting within like the first 5 or 10 rows, I really can't enjoy a concert.
If you're not standing on the stage.
Yeah, if I'm not sitting.
Next to Elton.
If I'm not standing on the
air piano.
Yeah, if I'm not standing at the piano, I can't really have a good, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but if I'm not in the first 5 to 10 rows, I really have a problem. You know, at that, because I've seen them so many times, I've been that close, that once you've been real close, if you sit back, I'm like, I could be, I'm not even here, you know? Then you're watching the video screen half the time. And so I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Because, I mean, a lot of times at this point, too, what I do like when I go to see Elton, because I've seen him so many times, I do like to pick out special concerts and events. Because a regular concert, I mean, I've seen a million of them. But so when he's playing at a specific event, I mean, I've seen him at the London Opera House, for instance. And I've seen him at some really cool venues. I've seen him at Radio City Music Hall. So I've gone to shows where it's not only the concert, but it's the venue and the event that is cool, too, to see him performing in a different thing than just some arena. You know what I mean? So.
Sure. Yeah.
But, anyway. Well, you know what? Why don't we just continue to talk about music? Because I'm looking at the clock, and we've got like 5 minutes to go, and I hate to just go through our greatest TV show list in 5 minutes. So why don't we save that for another list? Because that's another day, because that's evergreen, and that list isn't changing. But I'm trying to think now, when was this? I'm looking here. I've got it. Yeah, last month in October, this list came out. And it is worth talking about if you're a pop culture fan. Very quickly, though, on this subject, just as a teaser, maybe we'll do it next week. The number one of the 100 greatest TV shows of all time, according to Rolling Stone, was The Sopranos. And I have to say, now, are you surprised by that?
I know you like
Full House.
Surprised? just wait until we talk about it, okay?
Yeah, well, I wanted to say one thing, is that I recently went on this trip, and so on the plane, when you go overseas, every seat gets a nice little, entertainment center with the screen, and you could watch a variety of movies and TV shows or whatever to help it's an 8-9 hour flight. And so they had the first season of The Sopranos. And I'm like, okay, there were 10 episodes. This was a 10-hour flight. So I'm like, I got to actually watch season one, because every episode's about, 45, 50 minutes. So I can get, I love The Sopranos. I watched every episode. But to be honest with you, I don't think I've seen season one since season one. I never
probably
really went.
Probably not. Yeah.
No, I didn't go back, and I have them all on DVD. I have the whole set, but I've never gone back and watched it. And my gosh, I forgot how great of a show that was, and especially that first season. Why it became such a phenomenon, because it was so different than any show at that time. And even though now so many shows have been influenced by it in the last 20 years, but yet it still retained that edge. And I was really impressed. Like, okay, this show has not lost its vibe. And I was able to watch all 10 episodes. So I binged on Sopranos. It was perfect too, because then the meal was a nice ziti on the plane.
Right. It was almost like they planned it that way.
Yeah. So I had a nice Italian meal, and I'm watching The Sopranos. So it wasn't too bad. But, so now, being the hipster, and you said you actually were going to fly in to see Peter Gabriel, would you go? Now, if so, say your dream lineup for Old Cella, the one that you listed, say your list again of the six.
It was Led Zeppelin, Fleetwood Mac, Eric Clapton, Peter Gabriel, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin.
Okay, so let's say that's the lineup. They announced the lineup 4, 5, 6 months from now. They announced that lineup. Would you consider going?
I would consider going, but I would say this. I would rather see that lineup at, like, in a different place, a place that I'm more familiar with, like in Grant Park, or, here in Austin, we have Austin City Limits. I'm actually a little bit with you about the whole going out to the middle of nowhere in California, and you just sort of don't know the lay of the land. I feel like I've got these other festivals down. I know the lay of the land. It's very manageable. And I also like the idea of there are multiple stages. I don't want to be like a mile away from where all the action is taking place.
There were no multiple stages here. This was one stage. There was two acts a night for 3 nights. So there wasn't it really wasn't a festival per se in that, like Lollapalooza, where you had several stages going at one time. It was basically a 3-day concert. It was more like Woodstock than it was.
Actually, maybe what they need to do is slightly tweak it a little bit so that it is, you have to make decisions,
But that's really
when you go to.
Yeah, that's a good idea though, because then you could have like the major act, but then you could have some of these other acts that maybe don't fall into the legendary category, but certainly would be, you know, noteworthy, and you could have them on the side stages. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, so there you go. We're
Look at you.
Inventing desert trips here.
Desert Palooza.
Right.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea because, like we were talking about, there's some people, like, say, the Kinks or something like that, you know, where they may not rate, per se, as a headline act in many people's minds, but certainly deserve to be at an event celebrating that kind of music and that era. And so maybe there's a side stage. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, because otherwise that's the only thing that would hold me back from going.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, thank you very much, Emily. Like I said, I am very impressed to some extent, up to a point. I thought as you were laying out your list, you were just going to save the best for last, and you were starting out with your Led Zeppelins and your Fleetwood Macs and your Stevie Wonders. Then you're going to come back to reality and end up your list by mentioning the two names that you should have, which were Elton John and Bruce Springsteen. But unfortunately,
well, thanks, Jim. I thoroughly enjoyed my final appearance.
Well, I hope you did. I will. You failed the test with flying colors, and no, but we will certainly have you back, and we are going to talk about that TV list because I really went through this thing with a fine tooth comb. I hope you did too. And I've got like some I've got at least seven. Let's see, I've got 25 shows that I felt should have been on that list. So that's almost almost 1/4 of that 100 greatest TV list that Rolling Stone put out. I would have to change a quarter of it. So
it was wrong.
Yeah, well, that was wrong. So we'll have fun talking about that. Well, thanks a lot, Emily. I appreciate you joining me on Pop Culture Club, and we will talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Take care. And we will talk again to you soon here at WGNplus.com. I'm Elton Jim Toronto. Thank you so much for joining me here on Captain Podtastic this week. We don't know. I don't know. You know, but I don't know if the Cubs won the World Series when this thing is posted on November 7th. I don't know, and you know. That's not fair. Like I said, it's like Back to the Future Part 2. But I hope you had a good time anyway. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun, and I had a lot of fun. So I hope that you will enjoy not only this podcast, but you will go to my landing page on WGN Plus, and you can check out all previous 24 episodes of Captain Podtastic. So thank you once again for clicking on, tuning in, whatever it is you do. Hopefully you will come back every Monday to WGNplus.com. I'm Elton Jim Toronto. This has been Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screens.